moment it was open, he held up silver handcuffs and waited until I pushed my arms forward for him to shackle me. I cringed against the cold metal, but kept my head fucking high. Once pinioned, I stalked forward in my second-hand suit, walking beside the guard instead of behind him. Filled with conviction of truth, drowning in my worry of failure, I told myself to stand tall and be ready to accept whatever happened. I was innocent, not guilty. And after today, I would be free for the rest of my goddamn life.
Chapter 36. L. I wasn't on trial, but I'd never been so terribly nervous. The jurors sat in their little tiered stands, glowering at Larry as he sat proudly beside Penn. Dad had argued with me not to be seen at the trial, that it would be bad PR for Bell-L. I had hugged him and told him I loved him, then told him, in the nicest possible way, that he couldn't stop me from being there for Penn, and he might as well get over it. I loved Penn. I was here for Penn. I loved my company, too, but if he forced me to choose, well, it was probably best not to make me. I stared at the back of Penn's head from where I sat in the rows designated for family. The courtroom was basic in its build with harsh wooden barricades and pews. The bench I sat on had already flattened my ass, and we hadn't even started yet. Fleur crossed her legs beside me, reaching for my hand as a door banged loudly, and hate filled my heart instead of love. Greg. He marched with Playboy Grace, dressed in a similar-looking suit to Penn. He didn't make eye contact with anyone, keeping his nose high and arrogance wrapped tight around him. He followed the guard escorting him until they stopped at an identical table next to Penn and Larry, holding out his hands to be uncuffed. While the officer freed him, tucking the silver handcuffs back into his belt, Greg's lawyer placed her satchel on the desk and pulled out documents relating to today. I disliked her immediately. Not because she represented my nemesis, but because she was a hard-nosed woman with hair tied so tight, her eyes turned cat-like with red lipstick smeared like blood across her mouth. She looked like a weasel who wasn't afraid to fight dirty and tear off a few body parts to win. Sharing a few whispered words with his lawyer, Greg took his seat, his gaze catching mine. He flinched before straightening his shoulders and giving me a smirk. He waved a little, mouthing,
"Hi, Al,"
before his lawyer grabbed his shoulder and spun him to face the front. I wanted to leap over the small wooden wall separating witnesses from accused and wring his damn neck. Not for what he'd done to me, but for what he'd done to Penn. Another door banged, and a judge arrived, climbing up to his podium in a regal robe. His black attire made my heart hammer.
"All rise for the Honorable Patrick Blake."
The court rose as one. There weren't many people here, mainly court-appointed reporters and the odd colleague from Bell-L being rather nosy than supportive. I was glad and disappointed that the pews weren't full of people waiting to hear the truth. Glad because what if we all failed? What if the long nights of research and evidence gathering wouldn't be enough to save Penn from this bullshit charge? And disappointed because what if we did and he walked out of here a free man? No one would see honesty win over corruption, or know how hard the battle had been. The victory of winning over men who believed they were better than everyone would be so, so sweet. But the failure would be so, so bitter.
"You may be seated."
The court sat in perfect synchronicity. I stroked my somber suit, hoping the all-black affair would grant me strength. I wished I had something of Penn's, a trinket or keepsake to clutch and give me hope. Not for the first time I thought about my sapphire star and how much was now tied to that silly piece of jewelry. It has my dad's love embedded in it. It had Penn's rescue and then subsequently his lies swimming in the blue gemstone. And now, even though it wasn't mine anymore, and Stewie had refused to part with it, it bore witness to his thanks to the kid himself sitting beside me. His tiny fists tightened his lap, a look of utmost concentration on his face. He was my keepsake. Over the past few months, I'd learned to truly like Stewie. He was rough around the edges thanks to his prior years of running wild with his reckless older brother. But there was a sweetness, too. He adored Sage and couldn't stop petting her when I took her with me to help Larry research. Unraveling my fierce, sweaty, locked-together fingers, I wiped them on my black skirt, then took Stewie's small hand in mine. He jumped, so focused on watching Penn and Larry as they bent to talk in hushed whispers in front of us. I smiled, hiding my nerves, granting him some courage at the expense of my own. "It'll be fine. You'll see." His throat worked as he swallowed. He didn't nod, merely turned his gaze back to the two men who'd saved him from a life of homelessness and settled in for the longest day of our lives. "Truth will prevail, Al." Fleur leaned close. "That creep Greg can't get away with this."
"Today we have Penn Everett versus Greg Hobson,"
the court officer said loudly, narrowing his eyes at us lowly supporters.
"Please remain silent. No outbursts will be permitted. No interruptions of any kind, or you will be asked to leave."
When everyone hushed, the officer nodded at the judge.
"Ready to begin."
The 12 jurors sat tall with importance, with a rustling of clothing and murmurs of voices. The rest of the court settled to watch, wound with tension, stiff with hope, wishing for a quick and fair verdict. Recess? How could there be such a thing? I didn't want coffee and cake when the life of the man I loved hung in an uncertain balance. For the past hour, opening statements had been delivered. Greg's lawyer went first, prancing around in knife-sharp stilettos, speaking to the jury as if they were dim-witted barn animals. According to her, Greg had been mentally abused in his childhood. He'd been brainwashed by his father to believe he would end up marrying me and inheriting it all. When he wanted to travel the world after he finished college, he claimed his dad told him not to go. Otherwise, another man might steal our arrangement and my heart. I burned through so many calories sitting through such filth. Steve was a good man, and if he'd lied to his son about winning my hand, then I didn't know him as well as I thought I did. But I had a sneaking suspicion if he was here, he'd be as mortified as I was about the lies Greg spread. Greg painted a picture of a tireless worker who would do anything for Bell-El, but in the same breath, he came across as a broken-hearted lover who only wanted a second chance with me away from the influences of the company. He claimed that I went with him willingly, that I wore chains and let him hit me all because I wanted what he had to offer. I wanted to be with him because that sort of thing turned me on. Please. Not for the first time, I wish Steve and Dad had come to bear witness, to finally see the games Greg loved to play and they'd been so oblivious of. I understood why Steve wasn't here. He loved his son, but he couldn't stand by and watch two children he'd helped raise battle in court. And I appreciated why Dad wouldn't step foot in the court, because he fussed over Bell-El as if it was his wife and needed mollycoddling while this nightmare carried on. Greg pouted for the jury, saying how happy we'd been, only for our romance to be destroyed when Penn swooped in and claimed me for himself. He came across far too convincing. I was glad I hadn't had anything to eat because I would have thrown up. Bastard. Larry's opening statement had been shortened to the point. That the accusations were false. That Greg had kidnapped me and Penn had rescued me. The end. The jury phased out a little, hearing the same rebuttal most of us had heard on the news or TV once upon a time. I squirmed in my seat, wanting to leap to my feet and beg the jury to listen to the girl who'd been there, lived it. Prove to them that I loved Penn, not Greg. It had never been Greg. Penn had ruined me for all other men, even when I didn't know his name. But Larry had sucked up their attention the moment he'd said,
"What is on trial today isn't if Penn went to that cabin with the intention of murder, but whether or not the chief of police, Arnold Twigg, has been using Mr. Everett for his own son's misdemeanors for years."
The judge had come alive, rapping with his little hammer.
"Stick to the case at hand, Mr. Barnes. We're here to discuss the aggravated assault and attempted murder charges, not some fictitious witch hunt on a respected police officer."
Even though Dad was friends with Patrick Blake, we wouldn't earn any special treatment, which was a good thing and a bad thing. I was glad it would be fair for both parties, but was sick of evil managing to hoodwink good far too often. Greg had snickered. Please, Larry had been told off. Penn stiffened, his shoulders high, begging me to massage away his stress if only I was allowed to lean forward and put my hands on him. I'd probably be arrested for touching the defendant. I'd sat on my fingers, turning my attention from the man who turned my heart molten to Larry. He'd merely smiled at the judge with his hands crossed politely.
It's all linked, sir, and I can prove it.
Goosebumps started down my spine for the 50th time since he'd said that. My mind snapped out of the last few hours in court, slapping me back into the present. Sitting on plastic seats outside the courtroom, holding a flimsy cup of coffee thanks to Fleur shoving it in my hands, I hoped and prayed that Greg would do the right thing. I would have given anything to speak with him, to find out what his decision was and if Penn would be free or convicted. There must be a way.
Court resumes in 5 minutes.
An employee stuck his head into the hallway, where we gathered beneath monolithic arches and portraits of dead judges. Mingler stood gathering handbags and finishing coffee dregs. Ready? I smiled bright as Stewie climbed to his feet, shuffling toward the double doors where we'd endure yet more torture while waiting for Penn to be freed. He shrugged, his eyes large and worried.
I guess so.
Fleur and I exchanged looks. My arm found its way over Stewie's shoulders, hugging him close.
It will all work out. You'll see.
He wriggled under my embrace but didn't push me away. He wore the suit Penn had bought from Bell-El, a smart little man ready to battle for his friend.
I don't know. Shit happens.
I didn't reprimand him for his language, because he was right. We might have every truth and honesty on our side, but at the end of the day, shit happened, and there was nothing we could do about it.
Chapter 37. Penn. Smug fucking bastard. Greg sat next to his zombie of a lawyer, not even bothering to hide his arrogance. Larry prowled in front, speaking to the court, blocking me from trying to kill Greg with my eyes. My gaze met Larry's from the witness stand, remembering this was my time to be cordial and well-spoken, not fuming with fury at the bastard who'd stolen another 5 months of my life. 5 months away from L. 5 months away from happiness. Larry interrupted my hate.
In your own words, can you describe that night in question?
That night. What night? Oh yeah, he'd been talking about the charity gala. I sat up straight, glancing at the jury with a soft smile. Ever since my success, I had given what I now have to those who don't have anything. I know what it's like to have nothing, and it's a driving force of mine to give them a chance, like another gave one to me. I gave Larry a look crammed full of gratitude. It might be years since he'd taken me in, but when I thought about what he'd given me, motherfucking tears almost came to my eyes.
So the event was your charity?
Larry asked.
Yes. What was it called?
Shit. I glanced at Al. I hadn't told her this part. Would she think I was an idiot? I'd gone through so many names for many months. After the penny stock I'd invested in hit an all-time high, going from 5 cents a share to $75 in a matter of months, a majority of the profits were reinvested into the stock, gradually buying more and more until I became the main shareholder of a company that recently got bought out by the CIA for an undisclosed, obscene figure. After that success, I couldn't just let the money sit there. I was set for life. I might as well help others as well as myself. I knew I wanted to help people, but didn't have a clue what to call the charity. I discounted the more generic names like Homeless No More or Roof Over Your Head, things that would say what the charity entailed. But the charity wouldn't have existed without Larry's faith in me and Elle's ability to reach into my chest that night and start my heart beating for other things. Things like her. Things I could never deserve unless I got my shit together. I cleared my throat. It's called Chocolate Runaway. Chocolate for that kiss. Runaway because if she hadn't, we would never have met. And my life would be so fucking different. I might not be sitting here on trial, but then again, I might never have gotten free from the last arrest, because I wouldn't have had the gumption to take Larry up on his offer. I wouldn't have been ready to fight because I didn't have anything to fight for, and I definitely wouldn't have taken him up on his offer to stay in his house and obey his rules. I would have run back to the life I knew, not thinking I deserved anything better. Larry hid his smile. He'd given me such a ribbing when I came home that day, with the name registered and proud as fucking punch. I noticed some of the jurors smiling while others rolled their eyes. My hands curled. It's personal. I stand by the name just like I stand by the millions of donations the charity has been able to provide. Larry nodded.
It's an honorable achievement.
No, it's an ongoing dream. Even while I've been incorrectly imprisoned, the charity has still run and provided for countless of homeless kids. A few jurors looked at each, then glared at Greg. Score one for me. Larry marched in front of the witness box where I sat.
So that night, you and Elle were happy?
God damn it. I wanted to skip over this part. It wouldn't exactly paint me in a good light, but Larry had told me to trust him, so I did. Not exactly. Inhaling, I said loudly. I'd lied to her. I'd entered into a relationship with her, all while letting her believe I was a businessman with no ties to her past. She didn't know I was the homeless man who'd rescued her from two attackers 3 years ago. I lied because I was hurt that she hadn't come for me. I was pissed off because I developed feelings for her, and thought she didn't feel the same way.
What way is that?
In love. The jury shuffled. I kept my eyes averted. Right now, I sounded like a fucking pussy. Greg chuckled while the judge hammered his gavel.
What link does this questioning have to the case in point, Mr. Barnes?
Larry stormed to the judge, craning his neck.
It's introducing the accused so the jury can make a better informed decision, Your Honor.
For a second, I thought he'd overrule, but he reluctantly nodded.
Get on with it.
Thank you. Larry returned to me.
So, that night in question, Miss Charleston thought she'd figured out who you were, and left before you could explain she'd concluded wrong?
Yes.
And you chased after her?
I did.
Only she didn't answer her door or phone, correct?
That's correct.
And you gave her some space, as you believed she was upset with you?
It wasn't easy, but yes, that was my reasoning. Larry nodded importantly.
However, you changed your opinions a little later that night, didn't you?
Yes. I glowered at Greg. I woke to being beaten by two men Mr. Hobson had paid off to scare me away from Elle. They said she was with him now and to back off.
And was she with him?
Larry asked. No, she'd confided in me that she didn't want anything to do with him. Larry headed to his desk and collected photos of the day I was placed in custody. Sharing them with the jury, he said,
These are photos of Penn's condition received by Greg's courtesy.
Incorrect evidence.
Greg's lawyer stood up, planting her hands on the table.
Those injuries were given by Greg as he fought for his life while Penn tried to murder him.
The judge looked between the two lawyers.
Is that true?
Larry shook his head.
No, Your Honor. I'm sure a few scratches were from the fight, but the majority were from being beaten awake hours earlier. I have doctor's reports stating how long the contusions and bruises needed to form and discolor.
He picked up another piece of paper and handed it to the judge.
In his opinion, the discoloration on Penn's ribs, face, and other limbs was 6 to 10 hours old before he had a chance to detain Mr. Hobson.
The judge accepted the evidence with a nod. Larry turned to me.
In your own words, Mr. Everett, can you describe what happened when you found Mr. Hobson?
With pleasure. I bared my teeth. Miss Charleston was in chains. He had her bent over a couch about to rape her.
Not true!
Greg blurted.
She just agreed to go to the bedroom with me.
She knew I was sneaking up behind you, you fool!
I replied before the judge could yell for us to shut the hell up.
She used misdirection so I could incapacitate you.
Silence,
Patrick Blake commanded.
Another outburst, and you'll both be thrown back in the cells.
Greg crossed his arms, slouching like a pissed-off child. I sat taller, embracing fearlessness because I'd done the right thing. I wasn't the one lying. For a change.
So you don't deny you touched Mr. Hobson?
Larry waited patiently. His eyebrow rose. I knew the answer he wanted, what we'd schooled over. Yes, I did, but only what was necessary to release Miss Charleston and put Greg under citizen's arrest. But I was done being polite. I wouldn't waste any more time. I'd tell the truth, but in my own words, not his. I didn't just touch him. I punched him. Multiple times. The court gasped as one. I turned my vision to the jury. He hurt my girl. He was about to rape my girl. I wasn't going to have a conversation with him and ask politely if he'd stop abusing her. How many of you would have done that, instead of attacking the asshole who hurt your loved one? The jurors broke silence, muttering loudly amongst themselves. The reporters in the back pews started asking questions, adding to the mayhem. Court propriety broke down. The judge hammered his gavel.
Enough! Quiet down, all of you.
Greg stood up, adding to the mix.
He's lying. She was mine. She loves me. Don't listen.
Enough,
the court officer bellowed. A fight broke out between two jurors for reasons unknown, but most likely had something to do with my question about what they would do and their mixed opinions on the matter.
Quiet,
Judge Blake boomed. The chaos only grew worse. Desperate for order, he yelled.
Right, court adjourned. Reconvene tomorrow. Go home, all of you.
And just like that, my time in the limelight was over. Back to prison I go.
Chapter 38. L. Larry and I stood on the steps of the courthouse. Fleur waited ahead with Stewie, bribing his attention with a stick of chewing gum. I'd asked her to. I needed Larry on his own because I had a plan. After the disaster in the courtroom, I couldn't leave things to chance anymore. I couldn't let my heart gallop and my stomach sizzle with fear that Greg would be utterly vindictive and testify against Penn with every viciousness he had in him. I couldn't watch Penn be handcuffed and marched back to prison, like this afternoon. I couldn't survive with one conjugal visit a year and weekly phone calls. Penn was innocent. Greg was wrong. He had to be stopped. Threats wouldn't work. But I knew something that would. You have to get me a meeting with him, Larry. Tonight. Larry slammed to a stop.
Penn? No can do. He'll be under lockdown now.
No, not him. Greg. His eyebrows disappeared into his salt-and-pepper hair.
What?
I want to speak to Greg.
I don't.
He pursed his lips.
Why?
I need to try something, before his turn to testify tomorrow. Soon it would be my turn to testify against Greg. I still had that trump card over him, but I doubted that would make him change. He was too naive to understand what life in prison would do to him. He was too used to being the spoiled little rich boy and given everything he wanted. He believed he was untouchable. I didn't have the time or power to show him otherwise, but I could dangle a carrot he valued more than his own life to change his mind about Penn.
What are you thinking?
Larry's eyes narrowed.
Don't tamper with things you don't understand, Al.
In the past few months of working late and getting to know Larry, I had great affection for this man who had saved Penn, who had given him money, a home, kindness, a family, a true benefactor in every sense of the word, offering security after a lifetime of none. But he was also nosy, and I didn't have time to satisfy that curiosity. Can you do it or not? He shrugged.
I can't promise anything. He's probably been transferred back to corrections.
Can you try? He frowned but nodded.
I'll do my best.
Gripping my hand, he squeezed kindly, then marched back into the courthouse. Greg? I clutched the phone tight. Larry hadn't been able to work his magic and get me a face-to-face meeting, but he had managed a 2-minute phone call. No more, no less. I had 120 seconds to make Greg an offer he couldn't refuse, and do it in a way that didn't sound like bribery, blackmail, a or any other illegal action that could end up with me taking his place in lockup. I didn't care it would be recorded. I didn't care it could backfire if they decided to pull their records and use it against me. Penn's life was on the line. I would do anything I could to save it. Did that make me stupid? Most likely. Did that make me reckless? Most definitely. But I was done playing nice, and Greg endangered everything I held as priceless.
Elle?
Greg snapped.
What the hell do you want?
I didn't waste time. Tell the truth. I wanted to barter with him, to say if he dropped his statement, I drop mine, that I wouldn't press charges because I didn't care about justice for me, just freedom for Penn. But I couldn't. Not on the phone. Every word was a damn minefield. Tell the truth, Greg, and I'll change your life. A long pause, then he finally bit.
How? How can you change my life?
I'll give you $15 million. I'll put it into an account that will earn interest until you're released. You'll never have to work again.
Is this some sort of joke?
No joke. My fingers turn white around the phone. All you have to do is tell the truth. Retract that Penn was trying to kill you. Stop saying I loved you. Be a man for once in your damn life. Be honest, Greg, and I'll send you the bank account number the moment court is adjourned. My heart raced, bucking for his reply. Finally, the words I feared I'd never hear came back.
20, and you've got yourself a deal.
I didn't even hesitate. Deal.
Chapter 39, Penn. Greg took the stand the next day, his gaze glaring into mine. Freedom practically slapped me on the back and said, "See you later, buddy." The way he licked his lips, rubbing his jaw with deliberate poise as if he couldn't wait to get my ass thrown into jail where I'd never see Elle again. His lawyer stalked in front of him like a rickety stick insect, her red lips barely moving as she asked him clipped questions.
Did you love Miss Charleston? Did you have a happy childhood growing up together? Did you get along with her father? Did you kidnap and rape with the intention of forcing marriage and a company takeover?
Such generic everyday questions, apart from the last one. Greg delivered his answers in fluid, concise ways. I had to hand it to him. He sounded sane and came across as any hard-working individual and not a greed-hungry psychopath.
Yes, I did. Still do. Yes, we did many things together. Picnics, bike rides, you name it. Of course, Joe Charleston and I go way back. No, I did not. That wasn't my intention at all.
Time ticked onward. Jurors yawned a little. Elle's eyes seared me from behind, and Larry didn't move in his chair. The courtroom had turned from an explosive kettle yesterday to a stagnant pressure cooker today. Tension gathered the longer Greg blah-blahed on the stand. I felt sick, just waiting for that one question. That simple phrase guaranteed to launch him into a tirade destined to send me to hell. Did Penn Everett try to kill you? I thought I wanted to get this farce over with, but being this close to a guilty verdict, again for something I didn't do, turned my heart to icy stone, trying to protect itself before the inevitable happened. Already, my ears rang with the jurors' conclusions. Guilty. 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 I froze with visions of the judge bringing his fist down with a life sentence without parole. Sweat trickled down my back, the longer Greg and his lawyer enjoyed their question-answer dance. And then the question arrived, blaring like a freight train, smoking with authority, ready to steal any happiness I might have earned. His red-lipped lawyer muttered,
"And do you, Greg Hobson, stand by your statement that Penn Everett went to that cabin to kill you? That you had reason to believe he'd plotted your murder and intended to carry it out?"
Greg glanced at me, then Larry. His eyes flew behind me, no doubt looking at Elle. The sound of fabric shifting on seats itched my ears. The entire courtroom didn't breathe. I desperately wanted to turn around, to grab Elle's hand and thank her for everything she did and apologize that it wasn't enough. That my past had ruined everything anyway. But I couldn't tear my eyes off Greg. Some masochist part of me needed to sear this moment into my brain forever. I'd use it as fuel in any prison brawls I had to win. I'd punch and punch and punch some asshole and pretend it was Greg. I almost stood up and held my hands out for the cuffs, tasting the inevitable. But something fucking miraculous happened. Greg leaned back, shrugging like a toddler caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
You know what? I've had time to reflect on what happened that night, and I think I might have got it wrong.
Fucking what? My chair legs screeched as I scooted forward. Did that really just happen? I needed a replay, to press rewind and see if my brain had fritzed or if this was real life. Greg relaxed into his tail, bringing his leg up to cock over his knee as if he spoke to his brethren at a bar, not a jury in court.
I didn't lie. I honestly thought he did want to kill me. But I am a reformed man and recently been using the downtime to truly assess what I thought and what was real.
Christ, he had the jury eating out of his goddamn hand. Everyone sat up, the jaded glaze fading from their eyes as if grateful he was about to tell them exactly what they should believe in so this sham could be over and they could go back to their families. Greg sighed heavily, acting the perfect grieving witness.
I won't deny that Penn Everett hurt me. Shit, I still have the bruises to prove it, and he did put me in the hospital. Those are facts.
He smiled at the jury.
My ribs were cracked and larynx bruised. The doctors said I was lucky to still have a voice box.
I rolled my eyes. Fucking please.
But Everett had a point yesterday. I would have gone crazy over any dude touching my girl and thrown a few punches too.
My mouth hung open. Did I just hear that correctly? Wait, that can't have just happened. I'm in an alternate universe. I've stepped into the Twilight Zone. Elle's softest gasp sounded behind me, dotting my skin with goosebumps. Larry sat ramrod straight, his fingernails scratching into the table. I was glad I wasn't the only one fucking stupefied by this change of events. What the hell is going on here?
He got it wrong that I was raping her.
Greg's face turned back with familiar greed, then lightened to innocent once again.
We were role-playing.
He leaned into the jury as if it was a secret between them.
Miss Charleston likes a bit of bondage, if you know what.
Stay on topic, Mr. Hobson, the judge muttered.
Greg held up his hands.
Hey, kink isn't on trial here, is it?
A juror or two snickered. Judge Blake scowled.
Continue without the sexual references that may or may not be true.
Greg nodded.
Yes, Your Honor.
Sitting tall, he added,
Ben was jealous of Elle and me. Elle was going to break it off with him to be with me.
Another noise came from behind me. A small keen like a broken kitten. The chemistry between Elle and I exploded as I felt her tension, endured her panic.
Overruled,
Larry stood.
We have multiple witness statements from Miss Charleston's bodyguard, father, and other staff that state that is incorrect. Miss Charleston and Mr. Everett were engaged to be married.
Larry shot me a quick smile.
They still are.
Sustained. Strike from the record, the judge commanded.
Looming over Greg from his podium, Patrick Blake swiped his forehead as if this entire trial caused him a migraine.
I suggest you stick to the facts and not make-believe, Mr. Hobson.
Greg chuckled.
Fine. All I have to say, then, is Mr. Everett didn't try to kill me. I revoke my statement.
The judge's mouth fell open.
Are you sure?
Greg looked at Elle again. Something passed over his face, half with loathing and half with utmost satisfaction.
I'm sure.
Larry stood up just as Greg's lawyer sputtered.
But...
Larry clapped his hands.
In that case, I motion for my client to be freed from the incorrect charges immediately. As for the other evidence about corruption and unlawful imprisonment by Arnold Twigg, I'd like to progress with pressing charges at a later date, with intentions to expunge my client's record. My head swam. I felt fucking faint. Christ, don't faint like an idiot. I couldn't follow what had just happened. I stood up on shaky legs, only for the judge to bark at me to sit down. I did, swiveling in my chair to face Elle. She beamed with a happy smile. "Did you do this?" I whispered. She shook her head, tears glittering in her blue eyes. "She's lying." All I wanted to do was kiss her stupid. She'd done something, regardless of her denial. There was no way Greg would have retracted his desire to see me rot unless he'd been given something he valued more than making me suffer. Understanding suddenly filled me. Money. I pursed my lips, tilting my head for her to enlighten me. She merely bit her bottom lip to prevent glowing like the damn sun. The glint in her gaze told me all I needed to know. "I'm right. She bribed him." Fuck knew how much she'd promised to save my stupid ass. But she'd done it. I was free. I spun around, facing the court. Wait, was I free? Nothing had been said, only scrambles of papers and impatient reporters to deliver a story to their editors. The jurors mumbled amongst themselves, as if pissed that not only would they not get to contemplate a verdict, but they'd also been robbed of delivering it. With no accuser or statement and 1,000 pieces of evidence about Arnold Twigg, Sean Twigg, and my past riddled with bad luck, nothing else could happen. I was a good person, contrary to what most believed.
"Quiet!"
The judge brought down his gavel.
"In the case between Greg Hobson versus Penn Everett, I hereby dismiss all claims. The case is closed. Mr. Everett is innocent. You are free to go."
In the same breath, he looked at Greg.
"Mr. Hobson, you shall return and continue with the state as your host while awaiting trial for your own court case against Miss Charleston. Until then, I hope everyone obeys the law and stops wasting public time and money."
He stood in his robe, then stomped down the podium. There was no fanfare or clapping, only the surreal silence that it was over. Greg threw me a sizzling stare, full of contempt, even while his fingers counted imaginary dollars. His lawyer stomped off with her satchel thrown over her shoulder. Larry grabbed me in a bear hug, Stewie wrapped himself around my legs, and Elle grabbed my face and kissed me. She broke the spell. She popped the bubble and proved it hadn't been a dream. It was real. It had happened. I was free.
Chapter 40. Elle. The practical thing after being released from jail would be to go for dinner with those who fought by your side. To answer the flocks of seagulls as news reporters begged for scraps of how I entered the courtroom this morning with only Fleur and Stewie by my side, and left in the afternoon wrapped in Penn's arms. And we did do those things. We stopped and kissed for the papers. We waved away questions and grabbed a quick celebratory drink with Stewie, Larry, and Fleur. We didn't think about the upcoming fight with Arnold Twigg, and we didn't worry about my turn to testify at court against Greg. He was back in prison, rolling in promised cash, waiting for his hearing. I had no doubt he wouldn't care at all. He wouldn't care because he had 20 million reasons to be happy. And I didn't care because I had 20 million reasons to be grateful Penn was free. That he could stand beside me without shackles. That we could kiss whenever we wanted, and whisper about a life we could claim rather than lament about the one we had stolen. We allowed ourselves to celebrate the present, without the future robbing us of our hard-earned joy. My father called Penn to congratulate him, but he didn't join us for food due to indigestion brought on by the stress of the trial. I ordered him to bed, comforted to know Marnier, our housekeeper, would be there to keep him happy. Steve didn't join us for dinner either. Technically, today was not a happy day for him, as Greg would remain in prison without bail until his court date, and then who knew how long he'd serve. But sitting at a table at a local bar with generic coasters, beer-soaked carpet, and red leather booths and dim lighting, we toasted to Penn and grew drunk on the relief at having him back. The celebration started off as a group endeavor. Penn accepted hugs from everyone. He chatted and joked, but he always had one hand touching me. My wrist, my hand, my hip. After an hour, electricity laced those touches, zapping my belly, liquefying my insides. I couldn't prevent the way my heart imitated a bowling ball, knocking down my ribs as if they were skittle pins. No one else noticed, but my cheeks slowly glowed, and not from alcohol. Desire for him bubbled inside until the barest brush sent a lustful convulsion through me. Need built and built until it was unbearable. Half an hour later, Fleur whispered in my ear that she was taking off, because she had a feeling Penn and I weren't going to be around much longer. I playfully scolded her, then kissed her goodbye. I needed to be alone with Penn, but I wouldn't be rude and rob the others from sharing in this hard-earned party. So despite fireworks fizzing in my blood, we ordered French fries and prawn twisters. We downed more drinks, and when I excused myself to go to the bathroom, Penn found me like he had the night at the Palm Politics. He didn't say a word. He slammed me hard against a wall and kissed me so deep, I almost combusted. His tongue was totally sinful. His hands absolutely sexual. His cock throbbing as he wedged it firm against me, with a glitter in his gaze.
I need to be alone with you, now.
Words were hard to come by. He'd incinerated my insides, burned my synapses. I merely nodded and allowed him to take my hand. He dragged me back to the table of partiers where we said a guilty goodbye. Then we caught the first taxi we saw back to his place. The blood's gone. A random thing to notice the moment I stepped into Penn's apartment, but my nerves jangled. I hadn't been in his place since the day he'd rescued me and started to tell me the truth, only for the police to rip him away for the second time.
You're right.
His calculating eyes, which once made me nervous, but now only revealed his keen intelligence, flickered from spotless kitchen to tidy living room. No bed sheets strewn across the floor, no blood, no signs of a fight.
Larry must have arranged a cleaning crew.
I hid a grin, kicking off my black heels and placing my handbag on the kitchen counter. I'm glad. I don't exactly feel like doing housework. I hadn't meant it to come out so sexual, but it did. My voice was scratchy with desire, the need to touch him with no more rules or cages unbearable. Only he didn't attack me like he had on the night of our conjugal visit. He didn't pad barefoot toward me sensually. He merely stood in the center of his home and jammed his hands into his pockets the same way he did the very first time we met. Knowing what I knew now, I understood why. It was his form of protection against others and himself. His arms bunched beneath the white shirt he'd rolled up to his elbows. Black slacks hung off his hips too big, and his fists balled in pockets that made my heart sob with familiarity. Despite the events keeping us apart, we'd grown to know each other. I knew enough to predict how he would react, and he knew enough to preempt my answer. We stood staring at each other as if we couldn't believe this was real, that we were back here, alone and unsupervised, free to do whatever we damn well wanted. I smiled, suddenly shy and overwhelmed by how simple but heavily charged the moment had become. Penn's lips matched mine in a sweet smirk, the stress, worry, and panic of the trial finally slipping off his shoulders, down his arms and into his pockets. Instead of loose change and old receipts, those slacks held 5 months of jail time, so Penn no longer had to. It was me who moved first. Undoing the buttons on my dark gray blazer, I stepped toward him. My pantyhose feet slicked over the hardwood floor, making me shiver. Penn didn't move as I released the final button and allowed the jacket to puddle down my arms to the floor. Never breaking eye contact, I reached behind me and undid the zipper on my skirt. Running my hands over my hips, I pushed the slinky lining down my body, wriggling slowly to ease the fabric off. Penn clenched his jaw, his chest flexing as he forced himself to keep his hands in his pockets.
"Oh."
He bit his bottom lip as his eyes glued to my fingers, gliding up my body to undo the tiny buttons of my pale cream shirt. I had no plan of seduction. I hadn't come here with the idea of stripping for him. But the way he watched me, drank me, breathed me. God, it was the best aphrodisiac. My stomach fluttered beneath the buttons as I undid them one by one. My core clenched as he let out a long, ragged groan of pure male appreciation. Yet he didn't touch me. His lips parted to breathe heavier. His body swayed as if summoned by some invisible force to link with mine, but he permitted me to finish whatever striptease I wanted. I had no urge to speak as I undid the last button and slid the shirt down my arms, letting it cascade on top of my jacket and skirt. Words were cheap when our stares said everything we ever needed to hear.
"I want you."
"You're mine."
"I need you."
"I'm yours."
"We're free."
"We're together." Standing before him in my cream bra and panties decorated with black lace stars with garters and stockings, I felt stronger than I ever had before. I'd worn a suit to court to borrow authority from cotton and silk, but stripped of them now, left in only lace and pantyhose, I was more powerful, more invincible, more desirable than any outfit in the world. Penn sucked in a gasp, his voice teasing a whisper.
"You're so beautiful."
His words touched me, but his hands didn't. They remained in his pockets, as if the moment he pulled them free, he'd reach for me, and this precious memory would shatter into passion. I needed to see him. I wanted to run my fingers along his chest and assure myself he was here, that this wasn't some incredible fantasy. Deleting the final step between us, I pressed my fingertips to his belly, relishing his sharp inhale. Beneath my touch lived muscle and sinew, bone of the man I'd given my heart to and hoped he'd keep forever. Tugging on his shirt, I slowly pulled it from his waistband, letting it hang roguishly undone and handsome, curling around his hand still wedged deep in his slacks. He stopped breathing as I undid the bottom button, then another, slowly working my way up his body, allowing the cotton to stay close together until I reached the top. The cords didn't give him a tie, and the second the last button was undone, I invaded his warmth. Inserting my hands, I washed them over his smooth chest, his pecs, up his shoulders, and down his back until the shirt rippled down his arms, to hang where his hands still remained wedged at his thighs. The white against black looked as if I'd cut off angel wings, as if I'd corrupted a god and made him trade a celestial existence for lowly all because I wanted him. My mouth watered to suck his skin, so I did. Leaning forward, I pressed the softest kisses over his breastbone, working my way to his nipple. As my mouth latched over him, he grunted, bowing backward, sacrificing himself to whatever pleasure I wanted to give him. He trembled, his toes gripping the floor until they turned white as my tongue circled his nipple and my hands trailed down his belly. His erection tented his slacks, but I didn't reach for it. Not yet. Undoing the cheap synthetic belt, a ball of lust replaced my heart as he shuddered so hard, part from keeping himself in check and not reaching for me, but mostly from what I did to him. From my touch, my lips, my methodical way of stripping him of everything that happened. I didn't just remove his clothes. I removed his past. I tore off the months of imprisonment. I slipped off his lies and half-truths. Piece by piece, I revealed the man I'd always known existed. Someone kind but ruthless, supportive but possessive, intelligent but quick-tempered. He was an angel and monster in one, just human with perfections and imperfections.
"Oh."
He breathed as I undid the button of his slacks, then slowly pulled his zipper down. With my bare feet, I moved my skirt and jacket to wedge in front of me, then kneeled on the soft padding before him.
"Christ."
He sucked in a gasp as I left his slacks open, circling my fingers around his wrists. His hands remained locked tight in his pockets. but with a soft tug, he allowed me to lift his right one, giving me utmost control. Never saying a word, I undid the cuff button so his shirt could fall, then pressed a kiss onto his palm. He shivered as I let go, moving toward his left hand. Once again, he willingly gave me control as I pulled it gently from his pocket. His slacks fell around his ankles, leaving him in tight white boxer briefs that only highlighted how hard and thick he was. My mouth went dry as I undid his final button, undoing the cuff around his left hand. The moment it was free, the shirt fell, joining the rest of discarded clothing. Only one piece left on him. It was a piece I savored as I pressed a kiss, blowing hot air on his shaft through the soft cotton. He jerked his hands, now with nothing to use as imprisonment, landed in my hair.
Shit, El, what are you doing to me?
His voice was far away, in a land where nothing bad, no nights alone, no days unsafe, no cold or fear or hunger could find him. He was mine now. Tomorrow I could cook him breakfast like I'd always wanted. I could keep him close, protect him for protecting me. My hands wrapped around his hip bones, skating fingers over the tight elastic of his boxer briefs. With my heart lodged in my throat at how turned on I was, how wet, how hot, how heavy and ready, I pulled his underwear down. His quads clenched into delicious muscle rippled beneath perfect hair-sparse skin. His head fell back with a tattered groan as my hands stayed with his boxers, landing around his ankles but my mouth. That went on its own quest. I opened and found his crown. I moaned at the taste, at how warm he was, how hard, how satin-sheathed steel. His legs buckled, his fingers digging harder onto my head, not to take control but to support himself, so he didn't collapse.
Holy Christ.
He groaned as I sat taller on my knees and swallowed him deep. My fingers came up, left hand cupping his balls, right hand gripping his girth. I lapped over the thick veins coursing down his length. I sucked with long pulls, wanting to drive him to the pinnacle within seconds. Pen turned mute, soundless. His fingernails scraped my scalp as he held himself back, his self-control fraying with every second. Pumping his base, I licked with a feathering tongue. My tummy coiled tight, taking pleasure from giving pleasure. His spine locked as a ripple of bliss worked up his shaft, coating my mouth with pre-cum. I wanted him to come. I wanted him to let go and relax. But he captured my chin, bringing my eyes to his. His heartbreakingly gorgeous face was savage with self-control.
I'm not coming in your mouth, Al.
I unsheathed my teeth and bit softly. His hips jerked forward as I sucked him off. I did what I'd been dreaming of since he made me get on my knees in my office, then told me my 2 minutes were up. It wasn't a competition to show him how well I'd learned my lesson, but if I could make him come undone in 2 minutes like this, I would gloat for life. His eyes shadowed to coal black.
Fuck.
He shuddered as I sucked him again, his throat working as he swallowed.
Answer me one question.
I flicked my tongue over his crown, nodding permission. He swallowed again, croaking.
Are you wet?
Was I wet? I was drenched. I was so turned on. I could come with the slightest whisper over my clit. I nodded. My tongue licked him, adored him, and that was the breaking point for Penn. 1 second I was in control on my knees. I had him by the balls, literally. The next, I was tossed over his shoulder, with his hand spanking my ass and the floor moving fast beneath my eyes.
You'll pay for that, Al.
Swatting me again, he stalked into his bedroom. From my vantage point, I noticed the black bag still holding the dildo samples, sitting on his dresser, along with a freshly made bed full of white sheets and pillows. Pristine, virginal, until he threw me onto the mattress and cupped my jaw in his hands. I sat on the edge while Penn slammed to his knees. The reversal of our roles set my heart spinning wild like an out-of-control ballerina. His dark, delicious eyes speared mine.
I've wanted you since the first moment I saw you. I want you so damn much it interferes with my head, my heart, my very fucking existence. Yet you fight for me. You bribe my enemies for me. You deliver my freedom, and then you get on your knees and pleasure me so fucking selflessly?
He shook his head, anger dragging his brow over his eyes.
No, you deserve to be worshipped, El. You deserve pleasure and protection and everything your heart desires.
His features flickered with nervousness.
I hope to God you want me as much as I want you. My shitty life has taught me that the things I want the most are the first to be taken away. I can't let that happen with you.
He kissed my lips, inhaling hard, his fingers shaking.
I've done things I wish I could undo. I'm not proud of who I've been, but El, fuck, if you can stand by me in prison, if you can stand with me in court, then I will stand by you for the rest of your life.
I swayed forward, slinging my arms over his shoulders and grabbing a fistful of his hair. His obvious need to show me how he felt, his insatiable desire tainting the room, it all matched the depth of emotion I held for him. It was endless. It was new. It was our future. Kiss me. He froze as if to argue, but then his mouth smashed against mine. His teeth caught my bottom lip, his tongue plunging as if to bypass any more conversation and make me drink his vows. I crab-walked backward on my elbows until I had enough mattress to lie down. Penn followed, stalking over me on his hands and knees, his mouth never ceasing in its dominance of mine. His fingers traced my bra, then my naked belly, before teasing the top line of my panties. His palm crept between my legs, grabbing me firm.
I'm going to fuck you for days, El. We're not leaving this bed until we're boneless and on death's door from orgasms.
I moaned as he ripped my panties down my legs, then unhooked the garter belts to unroll my pantyhose. I arched my back for him to undo my bra, and when I lay naked, same as him, his fingers found me again. This time there was no lace, no boundary. Grinding his erection into my hip, he sank a finger unapologetically deep. My mouth popped wide. My body bucked in his control.
Let go, El. Forget about rules and society. Ignore what civilization says we should be and how we should act.
A second finger joined the first, filling me, stretching me as his cock throbbed hot and hard against my hip.
Let go and let me see you. Cry for me. Scream for me.
His voice slipped into volcanic ash.
Beg for me.
My body rose to meet his thumb as he pressed my clit. Pen?
Pen what?
He growled in my ear, his fingers fucking me, punishing me with pleasure. My body surged to meet them bowed away. He pressed harder on the tiny bundle of nerves, making my eyes water and a climax twist into a ravaging storm. I was so close to coming already. The sparkling transformation of my womb and spine warned me that it would happen. But I couldn't stop, because that was what Penn did to me. The magic he held over me, the same magic he'd had from the start.
Your?
He nipped my throat, his fingers driving faster.
Finish your sentence. Tell me.
His thumb gave me no escape. I gave up trying to move away from the pleasure and threw myself headfirst into it. I'm coming. I thought it would come out as a whisper. It came out as a scream as I did exactly what he told me to do and let loose. My body took control with the speed and power of a runaway train. The orgasm grabbed me, squeezed me, obliterated me. Clenches and waves, I milked Penn's fingers until I moaned unintelligently. He kissed me deep, soft, languid as I came down from the most piercing high.
I knew you could come fast.
His lips caressed my cheek, moving to my jaw.
That first night you said yes, in the alley, before I gave you back to David to take you home, remember?
I blinked, dragging myself back to human rather than liquid bliss. When you made me come against the wall? A smug glint filled his gaze.
Yes.
I shared a piece of me, giving him access to who I was. I worried you'd take me that night, that I'd lose my virginity against a brick wall.
Did you prefer losing it in this very bed?
I did. I smiled.
You came that night, too, with my cock inside you.
His eyes rolled as if reliving heaven.
Fuck, you were so receptive. Have you always been that way? That sensitive?
I nodded. It comes in handy when I'm on my own and need a quickie.
You'll never be on your own again.
I arched up, seeking his lips. You too. I wasn't prepared for the way his arms latched around me, with a vicious hold. He hugged me as if thanking me for becoming his, telling me with actions that loneliness had been his cross to bear for so long, and now he no longer had to carry it. His lips sought mine again, and our conversation ended. Just like that.
Chapter 41. Pen. I'd wanted to make this last. I wanted to memorize every inch of Elle so she wasn't just a girl in my past who I'd mistakenly despised or a woman in my present I wasn't fucking. She was my future. She was my home, and I wanted to know every freckle and birthmark, every ticklish spot and turn-on zone. But that was before she sucked me off, then came in 2 seconds flat as if she couldn't stand having my hands on her and not reward me with every drop of her pleasure. Slow would have to come later, along with fun and toys and games and all the other exciting stuff we had to look forward to. This was a hello after months of painful separation. I wanted her heart thundering against mine, body to body, soul to motherfucking soul. Without a word, I wedged my hips between her spread legs. My cock throbbed to come. My back locked as Elle grabbed the base of me, gliding me to her entrance. Her eyes blazed blue as she rubbed my crown through her wetness, torturing both of us, coating me in her orgasm, begging me to do whatever I damn well wanted. And I wanted so fucking much. She was passionate, free, a lover and friend and partner. She was no longer a stranger or a spoiled brat I'd hated. She's mine. My lips locked together as I pressed the first inch inside her. A low, feminine moan echoed in her chest. Her legs opened wider, showing me everything, making me drunk and embarrassingly close to losing control. Our gazes never unlocked. I looked at her with utmost awe. She bit her bottom lip, reading me better than I could read myself, knowing I'd reached my limit on gentle and needed to be a beast. She clenched around me, giving me permission to let go. Slamming forward, I slid straight inside her. She spread wide and wet. A cry tumbled from her mouth and into mine as I kissed her fast and messy. My arms went around her shoulders and nape, cuddling her close even while my hips attacked her. The bed rocked, our breathing tore, her legs looped over my back, her ankles digging into my spine. Jesus, I bit out.
Yes, God, yes.
Her fingers landed in my hair, twisting almost cruelly, adding fine-edged pain. Christ, she shouldn't have done that. I lost it. Utterly fucking lost it. My body was hard as stone, my stomach slapping against hers, my balls drawn up in preparation of shooting everything I had into this woman. Her pussy clung to me every time I withdrew to slam inside her again. Her back arched until her breasts stuck to my chest, and I held her so close, gluing us together, slick with sweat and need. The friction was too much. Every wet ridge of her, every hard inch of me. I pushed up, she pushed down, I thrust in, she welcomed. She rocked harder, her hips moving in delicious circles, rubbing her clit on the base of my cock. I loved that she chased her own pleasure, that she wasn't afraid of letting go, of learning me, revealing her, sharing what worked for both of us. Christ, you feel good.
I panted. You feel so fucking good.
You're mine, Ben. You always have been.
Her lips found mine. We knotted ourselves into each other until I didn't know where my body ended and hers began. The burn in my quads, spine, and cock smoldered until smoke and fire erupted. The irrefutable need to release came with agony, laced with greed. Shit, I'm gonna come. I rode her hard, driving fast, turning sex into mania, and Elle matched me. The bed shifted, moving away from the wall with every thrust. We had an agenda, an end goal. I arched my back, slamming into her soaked pussy, my muscles rigid with detonation. She gasped, her fingernails scratching my spine. I loved the pinpricks of pain, the way her breath spurted in my ears, the seamless way my cock plunged into her body. I fucked her with everything I had. And when my release found me, it didn't fucking stop. My thighs, ass, heart, every inch contracted with